Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, everybody. How's 8:30? Are you all alive? Doesn't the weather feel a little bit like England? A little bit cloudy. Anybody happy with the rain? If you're happy with the rain, raise your hand. If you'd prefer blistering sun, raise your hand. We need the rain, don't we? Happy with it. Come August, we're going to be praying for rain again and we're going to be, oh, so dry. Happy with the rain. But don't let the gray clouds put a ceiling on your expectation this morning. Amen. You know, I was speaking to a friend of mine. He says the craziest thing about England is, and he moved from Australia to England. He said the craziest thing about being in England is the cloud mentality that happens. Clouds are low in England, isn't it? And it's grey and it's dark a lot of the time. And he says, you won't believe how that affects people's moods. So if you came in this morning feeling a little bit like, you know, like maybe somebody could give me their duvet or something like that. Don't let that put a dampener on your expectation this morning, because God's got something special for us. Amen. Would you stand with me to your feet and let's take a moment and prepare our hearts. Amen. We are here not out of ritual, not out of tradition. If you grew up in a very string church, if you grew up in Gea Kerk, or if you grew up strict and you had to go to church because your parents made you go to church, we have left that long ago, haven't we? We are here because we are trusting the Lord to say something to us, speak to us, most importantly, put something in our spirits today. So would you pray with me for that? Father, please, this morning, come and shift the entire disposition of our lives. Shift our thinking. Lift our hearts. Deepen our faith levels. Take us and mold us and shape us into who you want to be. And thank you that in these moments, the ground beneath us, the carpet underneath our feet is an altar. The air above us is an open heaven. And as Carl reminded us so well today, the kingdom of God is near. Help us to discern it and grab a hold of it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Some of you are still wearing red, happy from the Valentine's Day days. Quickly turn to your neighbor and say, happy Valentine's Day. I hope you had a good one. And then you can have a seat. Okay. There was once a village that was plagued by scarcity and poverty, and a stranger arrives into that village one day, and she proposed making stone soup. Stone soup. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Stone soup. She requested a large pot and some water, and curious villagers, people from the village, all gathered around her pretty quickly. And as the water boiled and as the stone was in her pot, she began to invite the rest of the villagers to add their own ingredients. And they began to add beans and spices and herbs and carrots and potatoes. And next thing you know, would you believe, together they created the most flavorful, awesome soup. It fed the entire village. All because one lady said that a stone could be the start of a soup. The stone could be the start of a soup. There was a lady called Madam C.J. Walker. She was born to impoverished parents in 1867. Her parents were slaves. She grew up in the most terrible poverty and with the most limited opportunities in life, but she was undeterred and she decided at a young age that she could see a need for hair care products tailored to black women. And so she founded the C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company, and through her determination and her ingenuity and her creativity and through a mindset of abundance, she became the first female self-made millionaire in the United States' history. Amazing story. Then I want to tell you about Kevin, who's 31 years of age. He's a charity worker. He lives in London. He's been focusing intently on achieving financial abundance. I don't know how he thought he was going to do that being a charity worker, but anyway. And he felt discouraged by his life and by his results. But one day, he has this light bulb moment, he writes. He has this light bulb moment. And he realizes that abundance, he realizes that prosperity isn't only about money. And he began to appreciate the wealth in his everydayness, the wealth in his relationships, the wealth in his friendships, the joy in giving his time to things, the happiness in everyday moments. And he shifted his perspective and began to develop an abundance mentality. Three stories, quick, short little stories, all of which illustrate, and this is what I'm hoping you'll receive today, church, they illustrate that an abundance mindset can lead us to profound places, to profound personal transformation. Today, I want to talk to us about the fact that I know a God of abundance. And as we live in South Africa and indeed the world and on the East Rand in 2025, this is a critical part of our discipleship. Abundance, I'm not talking finance, I'm not talking prosperity, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm going to suggest to you today that you and I can develop a mindset of abundance, meaning that we believe that God has enough for us to do what we need to do in our lives. Are you with me? Let me give you a definition. Abundance, in case you're wondering, means a very large quantity of something. And the opposite of abundance is scarcity. And straight away, as I mentioned those words, you might easily be able to identify how you have been living, as I have been living, in areas in our life where a scarcity mindset can grab a hold of us quickly, where we develop a way of living that is more inclined to scarcity than it is to abundance. And I'm hoping today that you'll catch something of the very near kingdom of heaven that reminds us that God is not a God of scarcity. But he is a God of abundance, and that's not, please hear me, that's not so that we can get rich. Abundance has almost nothing to do with our financial situation. It has to do with how we live and move and have our being in the world. It has everything to do with how much of a blessing and a resource we are to the world around us. Are you with me? Can somebody say amen? A scarcity mindset says that there's not enough of something and it's difficult to obtain it. Listen, many of us have grown up with scarcity mindsets, financially speaking, scarcity financially, but also scarcity in other areas of our lives. Some of us have grown up with a scarcity in our spiritual lives. Some of us have received nothing from our families of spiritual wealth or spiritual heritage. We have grown up skinny spiritually. Are you with me? Where some of us have grown up with a skinny mentality, a scarcity mentality, believing that not much is possible for our lives. Some of us have grown up with a financial scarcity because of apartheid, because of mindsets, because of a cultural inclination. Some of us still to this day live in communities, live in families and culture structures where scarcity is actually encouraged as if it's some sort of blessing. Some of us are living in this moment right now with the reality of black tax, where we're expected to pay tax for the rest of our families, not tax to SARS, but tax to our families. Are you with me? This all creates a scarcity mindset, and it's prevalent in South Africa. And I guess I want to ask you the question right up front. Do you want to go with the flow? Do you want to live in a scarcity mindset? Or would you prefer to rather get to know today the God of abundance, that you would have more than enough, but that you'd be able to give more than enough? Amen. I know a God of abundance. Will you hang with me? Can you give me 5 minutes to give you an overview biblically? Yes? Some of you are like, I don't know if I'm going to nod right now. 5 minutes. Take with me, or work with me, how about the abundance of creation? Think about the moment God created. Come with me to Genesis 1. I just want you to notice the language. If you're taking notes, this is Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. Then God said, now watch the abundance language here. Watch how this is not scarcity. Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant. Not some, not a few. Hey, let's put some succulents in and leave the rest. No, no, every time. And trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. Notice that seed is mentioned right up front. Why? Because seed equals growth, equals multiplication, equals abundance. The land produced vegetation, verse 14. All sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Do you notice how seed is emphasized three times in those few verses? Why does God emphasize seed? Because seed means growth. Seed means multiplication. Seed means abundance. Because if you've got no seed, you can't have any abundance. That's why what Carl was talking about today is so important. Our tithe is seed. That's why we bring it back to God. You know, people want to be blessed financially, but they give God nothing to work with. Gone so quiet in this Methodist church. Okay. Verse 20, let the water swarm with fish. Not a few skinny, scarce fish cruising around. They are bumping into each other, like you in the mall at Christmas time. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. Not a few. And then down, it goes verse 21, every sort of bird. And then verse 22, then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and be fruitful and become abundant. I'm starting with a theology today, church, because unless we start with our theology, everything else is going to be built on a shaky foundation. God designed and God created out of abundance. God's will is for abundance. Are you with me today? How about, track forward a couple thousand years, how about the abundance in the wilderness? God delivers Israel out of Egypt. And he rains down manna from heaven, fresh bread, every day that tasted like honey and sesame seed. Every single day, he doesn't hoy a couple of buckets and say, hey, see if the trough in. He rains it down. How about the water that flows from a rock to help God's people? When they asked for meat and they got tired of the bread, God sends quail in such an abundance that they gathered it for days. Listen, the manufacturers of Nando's, they would have never seen anything like it. It was an abundance. Everybody say abundance. How about the abundance of the promised land? So now Israel gets into the promised land, out of Egypt, into the promised land. They make it through the desert season. When they get there, guess what they find? A land that's described as flowing with milk and honey. How about the abundance of Solomon's reign? In other words, when God sets up a king, when God makes a king of Israel, he doesn't say, hey, listen, let's see how your reign goes and see if you can get enough tax from the people. And God absolutely opens the windows of heaven on Solomon and gives him the most incredible resource base you've ever seen. It says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. I hope you're receiving something in your spirit today. And it says the king made silver. So this is in Solomon. The silver was as common as stones. How lucky is that? What about the abundance of Jesus' miracles? Turning now into the New Testament. The abundance of Jesus' miracles. So here we've got Jesus. He feeds 5,000. Does he feed 5,000 and go, well, the leftovers are just enough. It's just, there's 12 basketfuls. How many of you can say that's abundance? Are you with me? Jesus turns water into wine. Does anybody take a guess as to how many liters he made of wine? 575 liters of good red wine. We don't know if it was red or white. We just know that it was good. How many of you agree that's not just, hey, let's put just enough so that everybody can have one glassy? You know what I'm saying? It was an abundance. I hope you're receiving something today. I hope you're starting to see the picture of who God is. When Jesus helps his disciples catch fish, he doesn't just give them enough fish for a lack of little snook braai. No. They caught such a large number of fish. Twice this happens, church, that in the one time their nets break, the other time their nets threaten to break. Peter catches 153 fish in a few seconds, just like that. Why? Because God's a God of abundance, not a God of scarcity. God's not a God of enough. He's a God of more than enough. Are you with me? This is our theology. This is what we believe. It's our theologos. It's what we believe about God. And I'm asking you today, if you've grown up in a scarcity mentality, if you've grown up with a spiritual scarcity, a scarcity in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit that may have been passed down to you either because of your demographic or because of your family situation or because of tradition, I'm asking you today, would you suspend it and just take a look at what the scripture says about the God of abundance? What about the abundance of life in Christ? John 10:10 says, Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and life in average. You may have it to the full. What about Jesus' abundance of grace and mercy? Ephesians 7:8, in him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. If you were an operator this Valentine's Day and you lavished gifts, then your partner knows it wasn't a skinny gift. It wasn't a scarce gift. It was a lavish. You've got to have lots in order to lavish. Are you with me? You can't lavish with, here's my little one bunch of roses. Let me lavish you. No, that's not lavishing. Lavishing is they must walk amongst rose petals. So you know what I'm saying? It's like, what about the abundance of heaven? Revelation tells us that in heaven, there'll be no more mourning, no more crying. There'll be an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace. Here's the thing, it'll be on the screen. Recognizing, understanding, chosen those words carefully, recognizing, understanding, and we can recognize it, we can understand it, and still not embrace it. And embracing, in other words, putting your arms around it theologically, when we embrace God's abundance, it shapes our thoughts, increases our faith, and influences the way we live. Let me take a short left quickly. Elon Musk, our very own Elon Musk, who's causing lots of drama in the world at the moment. Love him or hate him, I'm not going there. I'm not going to divide the church because some of you will be Elon lovers, some of you will be Elon haters. But no matter what you think of the man, whether you think he's an absolute genius or whether you think he's cooked in the cup, it matters not. The reason, hear me now, the reason he has the influence he has is because of the abundance that he has. Donald Trump would pay less than no attention to him if he didn't have, you know, $260 billion. Would you agree with me? Yeah. The point that I'm making is abundance ultimately ends up being about influence. This is a bit of a teaching today, but it's a bit of a weird one, and I've been praying so hard into this. It's teaching, and I'm not normally the one who'll give you seven things to this or eight things to that. But today, I just want to take a few moments to teach, but I'm hoping that the teaching will be an injection into your spirit. I'm hoping that the teaching will shift your faith levels, even though it's in the form of teaching. I want to offer you seven thoughts today on how we can develop an abundance mindset. The first is to say the obvious, is that it is possible. We can shift. You can. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter how you grew up. It doesn't matter if you thought a stone can't make soup. It doesn't matter where you've come from. We can shift from a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. If you decide to acknowledge God's resources are unlimited, if you decide to start believing in your life and acting out of that belief, even though you may not feel much of it, that God does not withhold good from his children and that his provision is not based on your circumstances. Are you with me? We can, human beings, we are capable of building new belief systems. If you survey the scripture as I've surveyed it today, and if you see the picture that some of us see, that God is a God of abundance, you can start to develop a new worldview that says God has more than enough, God is more than enough, and God gives more than enough. Can I get one amen? Secondly, we can begin to pray confident prayers. James 4:2 tells us you don't have because you don't ask. Ephesians 3:20, it's not on the screen, it tells us that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm tracking with you today 7 ways that we can begin to shift into an abundance mentality. Just to be clear, not so that you can get rich, so that you can have resource financially, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, with which to change our world and to bless your world, so that you can be a city on a hill, so that I can be salt and light, so that I can make a difference in my world. I can change the architecture of my country in such a way just because of who I am. Are you with me? So number one, human beings can shift mindsets. You can start to learn a new mindset. Number two, we can pray confident prayers, and we can fake it until we make it. You can pray a confident prayer without feeling confident. Did you know that? Have you ever done that? I do it all the time. I talk to God about how confident I am, and inside I feel like a mouse. But how many of you know that what we speak begins to change how we feel? If you wait till how you feel till you begin to speak something positive, you'll never speak a positive word in your life. We've got to begin to speak, and then that'll begin to lead us into how I feel. Thirdly, we can demonstrate obedient faith. Peter walked on water, didn't he? What was that? Obedient faith. Widow of Zarephath in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. She gives her last meal to Jesus. To Elijah. Gives her last meal. What was that? Obedient faith. An abundance mentality requires obedient faith. If we decide to hold out on God, if we decide to adopt a posture that says, God, you show me first and then I'll get it, you'll never walk on water, you'll never see maize multiplied, you'll never see oil that overflows. Are you with me? Every single one of us have got to make a decision that when God calls you to do something, he is the God of abundance and he'll prove himself to be the God of abundance, and you can't see the proof before you take the step. Peter couldn't see that the water was solid before he took it. Are you with me? So yes, it's one thing to pray bold prayers, but when God challenges and when God speaks and when God begins to outline the steps of faith taken, that's when the rubber hits the road. Anybody can pray a confident prayer. Anybody can muster up the faith in their heart and decide to speak even though they don't feel it. But when God begins to speak, then you got to take a step. Fourth, we can begin to give without fear. I'm absolutely convinced of this. Fear is the thing that keeps so many people from giving. I'm talking money, finances. I'm also talking time. You speak to people and you say, hey, don't you want to serve in a team? They go, no, it's not the right season, or whatever the lame excuse ends up being. It's a lame excuse, because actually the root of it is fear. What are they fearing? They're fearing a loss of convenience. They're fearing that they're not good enough. They're fearing that they'll have to impart some of themselves. They're fearing that they'll lose something. Are you with me? You and I can go through our entire lives making excuses for why now is not the right time to give something. We can give our time, we can give our talent, we can give our treasure. The people with the yellow lanyards on, orange lanyards on today, these are brave people that have decided to give of themselves. You can identify them because they're wearing bright orange. So give them a high five, buy them a coffee, do something nice for them because they're brave people. But giving requires a letting go of fear. There'll always be a reason why we can be fearful of giving. Some people won't give their tithe because they're going, exactly as Carl said, how will I live on 90%? God can't possibly, I cannot make this budget work on 90% at its root. And if you want to pick up a rock and stone me, it's okay. At its root, you don't believe that God's got your back. At its root, you don't believe that God's bigger than your budget. At its root, you're going, I've got to make this budget work. It's got nothing to do with God. At its core, at its essence, it's a misplaced trust and an idolatry of self. It's gone even quieter than. You all okay? This side's okay. This side's not. Not feeling the love from you people. Kidding. Five, we can serve selflessly. Because I think when Jesus multiplied the five loaves, what he was doing in the two fishies, what he was doing is, He was setting a precedent for us. Here's the precedent that I hope will land in your spirit. Is that any time you and I decide to give the little we have, God will do immeasurably more than what we might imagine with the little that we have. That's what I say when I say we can serve. We can serve our world selflessly. And here's the thing, guys. We make the covenant together with the Lord. We will never see the reward of our service to God this side of heaven. Just settle that now. If you're looking for somebody to compliment you, stroke your ego. If you're looking to see the reward of your service, if you're looking to feel good from your serving, unfortunately for Christ followers, that never happens fully this side of heaven. But one day, we'll walk through the gates and we'll get to the throne room of God and a voice will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Please notice it doesn't say, well done, good and faithful consumer. It doesn't say, well done, good and faithful Christian. Ooh. It doesn't say, well done, good and faithful wealth acquirer. It doesn't say, well done, good and faithful one who turned your family situation around from poverty to riches. It doesn't say, well done, good and faithful enricher of one's new family. Are you with me? It says, well done, good and faithful. Number six. We can see opportunities in obstacles when we have an abundance mentality. When Israel faced the Red Sea, what was it a chance of? It was a chance for God to do something spectacular. When disciples lacked food, it was an opportunity for Jesus to show who he was. When Paul was imprisoned, it was an opportunity for him to know that God's grace was sufficient. An abundance mentality doesn't admit defeat. An abundance mentality doesn't decide to go into our shells. An abundance mentality doesn't adopt a victim posture. An abundance mentality decides that in the obstacles of life, of which there are many, irregular, varying in intensity, we adopt a posture that says, God, this is a chance for you to show yourself strong on my behalf. Are you with me? There's a man in our church who was telling me just before the service. On the 26th of January, he decided to pray for his SARS situation. And within 3 weeks, it got resolved. Things moved in 3 weeks that hadn't moved in months and years before that. Why? Because how many of you know that a challenge with SARS is an opportunity for God to show himself strong on your behalf, if you've been honest? You all okay? Number seven, we can rest in God's abundance instead of worrying. When we genuinely have adopted and believed the reality that God is a God of abundance, then all of a sudden, Our posture changes from stressing and fretting to resting and relaxing. It's funny how the birds don't worry about their next meal and yet God still takes care of them. The flowers don't stress about their beauty, yet God clothes them. And we're worth more than birds and flowers, hey? And yet it's so hard for us to trust His provision. And I don't fully understand why, I must be honest. I don't fully understand how, on the one hand, I can acknowledge that, God, you took more time on me than you did on the birds and the flowers. And yet somehow I live my life like God's not going to take more time on me than on the birds and the flowers. Are you with me? It's a weird dichotomy, isn't it? We know that He formed us in our mother's wombs. We know that He oversaw every single moment and minute of that 9-month process, that He designed us in His mind. But somehow when it comes to life, we suddenly decide, oh, well, God's left us to our own devices now. He took all that time making us, and now He's just left us in the dirt, in the lurch. It's a weird thing, isn't it? Let me make a few statements. That God's abundance is not just a theological concept. It is a theological truth. It is a theological truth, okay? But it is more than that. It's an actual reality that will transform the way we think, the way we act, and what we believe. Let me make a few statements to encourage you today. Number one, we can reject scarcity thinking. No matter how you grew up, no matter where you grew up, no matter what your experience in life has been to this point, you know, in investment terms, they always say past performance is not an indicator of future performance. Are you with me? In other words, how that portfolio performed in the past is no guarantee that it's going to perform that way in the future. Any scarcity that existed in your life can and must be rejected as not having come from a God of abundance that was imposed upon you by your parents, by your culture, perhaps by your friends, your friendship circles. You name the force that put that there, I'll say to you, it wasn't God. I was hoping for one amen to that. Number two, we can trust God boldly, believing that He is more than enough. Sometimes life knocks the boldness out of our prayers. And part of the gift of our community, part of being with each other on a Sunday and in life groups and the smaller communities that we have, part of the gift of each other is that the faith of this bank can rub off on the faith of this bank. And this bank and that bank together can rub off on this bank, even though they may look beyond help, this bank over here. They can be helped. Are you with me? And everybody can even help the balcony. So 1, 2, 3 banks, all of you can help every muhu on the balcony right here tonight. Are you with me? So what I'm saying is that we, our trust levels can go up when we're together and we sing and worship and we hear and we receive and we act and we give and we write on our envelope and we take notes and what we are doing is we're stoking the fires of what God's wanting to do in our lives. You don't feel the same now that you did when you came in. Thirdly, we can give and serve generously, knowing that God's supply never runs out. You can serve and be okay. You can serve and be blessed. You can give and God will give it back to you in all the ways that you need it. Don't operate your life out of a scarcity mentality. Don't operate out of a lager mentality. Let's circle the ox wagons and protect ourselves. Are you with me? How many of you know that never leads to expansion? Lager mentality always leads to preservation. And preservation is the opposite of advancement. We can see problems as opportunities for God's abundance to be revealed. And we can rest in God's provision, free from fear and free from worry. Amen. Come, let's take a moment and pray together. Father, every single one of us have walked into this place today with different backgrounds and different experiences in life. Each one of us have walked in with different worldviews, different faith levels. And what a wonderful, miraculous reality it is that in the midst of that, you deal with us individually. Every single one of us have different fears, different ways that we circle the wagons, different legacy baggage that we carry in. Today, Jesus, Carl started the service today by telling us that the kingdom of heaven is near, all around us. And in this place, there is a new spiritual reality for us to receive and to decide to live our lives on. And just in this moment, I want to do something. I had not planned to do this, but I want to ask you to be brave, to be courageous. And if you decide in this moment, I want to be set free from a scarcity mentality, I'm going to ask you to be brave and to just stand, because the very act of standing in this moment is actually going to release something from you. I feel and sense that so strongly this morning. Father, our scarcity mentalities. And it's not just a mentality, it's a scarcity way of living has been passed on to us and conditioned into us through different forces and spaces and places in our lives. We know that. I know that. As I stand here, just the one with the microphone, I'm standing in my spirit too. We are Pentecostal people, church. What that means is that we believe that the same power that was present at Pentecost, the same power of the Holy Spirit, it means we believe in the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, right? So right now, in these moments, I'm going to ask if you'd join your heart with mine. And pray a very simple prayer. Holy Spirit, release me from scarcity, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, emotionally. God, give me a vision of the reality of your abundance. May I experience it. May I believe it. May I believe for it. Most of all, God, make me a blessing to my world. In Jesus' name. Going to ask us to stay just where we are, every head bowed, eye closed, and just you can take a seat, those of you, and just while we're in this moment of prayer, please, nobody moving. Jesus promised an abundance of life to every man and woman who makes a decision to follow him. Now, I want to say to you that the first step into an abundance, the abundance of God, is to accept the abundance of his grace, to accept the abundance of his offer, to accept the abundance of his sacrifice. God the Father sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live his life, to show us how to live, and to forgive our sins is why he died. And every man and woman who accepts the abundance of God's grace, his mercy that he would forgive us our sins, his sacrifice that he would send his Son, his goodness that he offers us a new life and a new start. It would be my privilege and joy to pray for you this morning. If you want to make a new start in life and if you want to decide to follow Jesus. So when you make a decision to follow Jesus, in our church, we're very, very clear what this means. It means you're making a decision to make him Lord of your life and you're making a decision to make him the savior of your sin. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you, I'll do a quick count to three. That's just so everybody knows this is the moment. I'm going to ask you on three, if you want to make a decision to say yes to Christ as your Lord, as your Savior. Not out of emotion, but out of a deep-seated decision to become a follower of Jesus. And if you say yes to this, I'm going to be praying that the Holy Spirit fills you in this moment. Your life's never going to be the same. So you're going to end up ditching some dodgy friends. You're going to end up starting to give away your life. You're going to start giving away your time and your money. And I'm saying to you, it's the best life you could ever, ever adopt. I'm saying to you, it's not a convenient life. It's not an easy life. It's a discipled life. It's a Jesus life. But it'll give you the freedom inside that you didn't know was possible. If that's you, on the count of three, just a moment, raise your hand. I'll see you. I'll say thank you. I'll pray for you. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. So if that's you this morning and you say, Pastor B, would you pray for me? Would you pray with me in this moment? Be my joy and privilege to. On the count of three, slip up your hand. Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Hands up all across this place if that's you. Amen, 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 amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you in the balcony. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. If anybody wants to keep raising their hands, I want to ask you to do that. Put it up nice and high so I can see you and I'll say thank you. Yes, thank you, thank you. Come, let's pray together, church. Come, would you pray, every single one of us, could we pray together? Say, Father God, thank you for your love. Thank you that we are loved. Jesus, thank you that you loved me, that you would live for me and die for me. And right now, I say yes to you, to following you as Lord and trusting you as Savior. Holy Spirit, fill me now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.